Our scripture this morning is found in 2 Chronicles 20, and this morning we are considering the second message in a third part series on this very, very subject that the battle does belong to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I find November to be one of the most taxing months of the entire year, one of the most stressful of all. I struggle in the month of November. I have a tough time, especially when it comes to the change of the time and less daylight and all of that. Anybody follow me on that? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. And so we're in this boat together, and you know, God has a word for us, and I trust that something shared this morning would be an encouragement to us. Reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I think that might be a little too small for you to read from back there, is it? Yeah, those letters are small. So just listen as I read it to you, because this is a great story from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I have read this and have been so blessed in the last few weeks as I've been preparing. And if I can find it, it's in here. It's in the Bible, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and where are we? My Bible is starting to wear out, and maybe that's a good sign. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse number 15. Now, we've been introduced last week to King Jehoshaphat. We're going to study a little bit more about King Jehoshaphat again today. But in verse 15, the NIV, it says, "He said, 'Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jezreel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you.' Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord and the God of Israel with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful.' After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks, for his love endures forever.' And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy the annihilate and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another." An amazing story, and we're calling this series, "Here Comes Trouble." If you remember last Sunday, I got the inspiration for the title of this from my granddaughter, little Taylor, because 2 weeks ago, we were sitting around, everybody in the living room, and all of a sudden, little Taylor, who was 10 months old, began to crawl. And somebody yelled out, "Here comes trouble." And I said, what a fitting title. You know, God just made this happen. And so little Taylor has been crawling ever since. And this week, I watched her, and she is crawling almost 90 miles an hour. She's crawling so fast, can't keep up with her. And the next thing, she'll be on her feet, probably running around, getting into all the cupboards. So here comes trouble. And we're looking at the story of King Jehoshaphat, who found himself to be in a big pickle one day, or in big trouble, in spite of the fact that his administration had always been about doing right and doing good and helping people. King Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a righteous king. He was a king that brought about a lot of change and a lot of good things to the people of Judah, which is the northern kingdom of Israel during that particular time. So Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and while he was trying to build a stronger, safer, and prosperous country and nation, a more godly nation, several of his enemies formed an alliance. They were jealous against him. And so three armies decided they would congregate, they would come together, form an alliance, and come against Jehoshaphat and try to beat him out, get him out of there, make him history, if you will. And so we saw this last week in verse 1. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. Verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 20. The army, here's the guys that were against him. Now, one army is bad enough, but here there were three armies, and we see them listed. There were the Moabites, there were the Ammonites, and there were some of the Meunites who declared war against Jehoshaphat. Messengers came in verse 2 and told Jehoshaphat, you know, they didn't have text messaging back then. They didn't have emails or anything like that. But messengers came to Jehoshaphat and said, a vast army from Eden is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. Now, I've been to the Dead Sea, and I have a little bit of an idea of the landscape there, of the geography of that particular area. And it's not an easy place to get from point A to point B. And it says they are already at Hazarzon Tamar, which means that they were making progress in coming up to defeat Jehoshaphat and his nation in the northern kingdom. So what was Jehoshaphat's response? You know, if you knew that there was an army coming at us from a particular direction to Bodenham and was going to invade Bodenham, what would your response be? What was Jehoshaphat's response? Well, number one, he was scared stiff. He was scared out of his wits. He was terrified, it says. Their combined armies were many times, 10 times the size of his army. So he was outnumbered, for one thing. He didn't have a chance in all of creation to pull through this one. He was outnumbered, and he didn't know what to do with it, about it. He had never been presented with such a challenge and with such a threat against him as was happening right now at this time. So what did he do? Did he panic? I probably would have. Would you? Did he throw up a white flag? Well, he could have done that too. What did he do? No, the Bible says, what did he do? He begged the Lord for guidance. And I'm sure he did a lot of begging. I know I would have done a lot of begging. He begged the Lord for guidance. And the King James says it this way, that he set himself to seek the Lord. That was his determination. That was his purpose. So as we saw last week, what did Jehoshaphat do? He prayed. Of course, you'd pray. He fasted. He listened. And it says he trusted. And he worshiped. So all that trouble coming, and he's worshiping. He's in church on Sunday or every day of the week. He's worshiping. Simply put, he surrendered himself to God so that he would not have to surrender to his enemies. This was his strategy, that if he surrendered to God, he would not have to surrender to his enemies. And how did God respond to Jehoshaphat's prayers? He said this, "Jehoshaphat, don't be afraid. I've got this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to watch out for you. Jehoshaphat, be calm. Jehoshaphat, don't be discouraged." And then he says this in verse 15. He says, "This battle is not yours. This battle is not yours, but it's God's. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's my battle," God says to him. "So all you need to do is sit back and trust me, because I will not only fight this battle for you, I will win this battle." Now, if you had God say that to you, what would your response be? I would be a little bit skeptical. Maybe. Some of us would be. And others would say, "Well, you know, God said it, it must be true." But in the natural, my own natural inclination, in my own flesh, I would say, "God, you got to be crazy. How could anybody win against three armies coming my way, and I am far outnumbered to handle it. I would not be able to hold my ground at all." So he says, "The battle's not mine, not yours rather, but trust me, because I will win the battle for you." And how did God respond to Jehoshaphat's prayers? He said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Now, if you're looking at your life today and you're thinking, "Oh no, here comes trouble. Oh no, here comes problems. Oh no, here comes financial calamity. Oh no, here comes family breakup. Oh no, here comes relationship problems. Here comes financial trouble. Here comes trouble with this and trouble with that." What would your response be? How would you handle it? Well, Jehoshaphat discovered that God was able to get him through. And he can get you through too. He can get me. The problem is, we do not trust him as we should. We do not depend upon him as we should. And in the process, as he gets us through, as he wins that battle for us, he says that your life will be more blessed than ever. Now, look at the end of the story in verse 30. At the very end of the chapter, verse 30, it says this: "Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side." We know how the story ends. And what an amazing story it is. And that's what he'll do for you. That's what he says he'll do for you. But I want you to realize that this wouldn't have happened if Jehoshaphat hadn't responded the right way when trouble first appeared. If he did not handle trouble, this trouble that was coming, in the right way, as it appeared on the horizon. So Jehoshaphat experienced God's blessings because instead of panicking, instead of giving up like you or I probably would do, instead of running away from his trouble, instead of fighting in his own strength, he confronted this trouble, this not just single trouble, not just double trouble, but triple trouble. He confronted it head on as he was determined to seek the face of God and get through it. Now, let's pick up the story. The men of Judah have all come together, and a prophet begins to speak to them. In verse 15, it says, he said, "Listen to all you people of Judah and Jerusalem." Listen. Good words. We talked about listening last week. "Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord Almighty says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then look at verse 16. Tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jezreel. But you will not even need to fight, he says, verse 17. Oh, this seemed kind of dumb. You'll not even need to fight. Take your positions. You got to take your position, all right? Get in line. Get in order. Follow the commands. Follow the commander's directions. Get in position. And I want you to go where they are. I want you, God says to Jehoshaphat, I want you to take your positions for battle and then let me do the rest. Now that's what God said to Jehoshaphat. And so the point of the message this morning, very briefly, is that God will fight your battles for you. You can trust Him to give you victory in every area of life. And as I'm standing here this morning, I have experienced it in my own life that God can give me victory in areas of life that I can't even imagine. And I realize I'm a work in progress. And if you're serious about it, you're a work in progress as well. But God desires to give me victory. And He wants to give you victory. But as long as you and I think we can handle it on our own, guess what? The bottom caves in. We come crashing down. And there's failure. There is a wonderful and tremendous lesson to be learned in the life of Jehoshaphat here. Three things that we need to remember when facing the enemy. Number one, we need to confront your problems face to face. We need to confront problems face to face. When Jehoshaphat cried out to God for help, God could have said, hey, there's an army gathered around you guys, and it's in the wilderness, but don't worry about it. Just stay where you are. Everything will be all cool. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. He could have said that, but he didn't, because he never does it that way. He never handles it that way. You see, trusting God to solve your problems, to solve your issues, doesn't mean that you just ignore your problems. It doesn't mean that you avoid your problems. It doesn't mean that you sweep them under the carpet. Doesn't mean that. Or it doesn't mean that you pretend like they don't exist. No, God wants you to meet your problems face to face. He wants you to face your armies, whatever opposition is coming your way, to face your enemy. He wants you to face that face to face, and He wants to give you victory in the presence of your enemies. I think the psalmist said something about that in Psalm 23. He says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. And my mind just went dead. So, what does it say, David? Amen. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Preach it, brother. Amen. Awesome. Thank you. So, God wants you to meet your problems face to face. He wants to give you victory in the presence of your enemies. Now, why is that? Why is that? I think that primarily it's because He wants you, maybe, I'm just speculating, to see how big your enemy really is. He wants you to see how big that enemy is. I mean, David and Goliath, remember that story? What an amazing story that is. I mean, nobody thought that little David, little puny weakling David, could defeat Goliath. But he did. He took him down. Took him down good. So he wants you to see how big your enemy is so that you can see how great his power and his might really is. That puts the tingles through me, you know that? To see how great and mighty God's power is. I worked with a guy at Cabela's whose name was Brian. His life was a financial mess. I mean, he just messed things up big times. And every paycheck he received, it was gone the day he got it. Every penny was spent to get his phone turned back on, to keep the utilities on. He was always borrowing money from people, promising to pay it back when he never had the money to pay it back. And it eventually, I mean, he lost his car, he lost his home, he went bankrupt, everything. And one day he told me he had all that he could take. And he said, you know, I'm serious about getting out of debt. I really want to get out of debt. And I asked him, since you brought it up, you know, just how deeply in debt are you? And I wasn't trying to prod. I wasn't trying to be nosy. He said, I really don't know how deep I am in debt. I know I am deep, deep in debt. I am deeper in debt than you can ever imagine or you can ever fathom. Now I said, well, can you ballpark it? He said, if I gathered all my bills together, we might need two ballparks to get everything together. That's as close as I can get. Well, it so happened that I didn't know, but Brian was attending a church, and just a couple of months before that, he came to know Christ. He became a believer in Jesus Christ, and his life was being radically changed. And God was finally on his case about getting out of debt, how important that was. And so he set to it. And he said, I am going to face this giant head on. This army of oppression that is against me through financial loss, I'm going to tackle it, I'm going to take it on, and I'm going to win. And then he says, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And then I said, I'm glad you added by the grace of God. Because if you try to do it yourself, it's just not going to work. And so his problems began to settle down a little bit, and he put together a budget, and he tackled his issue, and eventually he got victory over his finances. And what a blessing that is today, because he is serving the Lord and just being a wonderful witness. Now, think about your problems this morning, whatever they may be. November, I call it the month of problems, because I always struggle in the month of November. November is a month I'd just rather bypass and go right into March, except for Christmas. I like Christmas. All right, let's have Christmas too. But maybe we could have Christmas in July. So let's just get past all this. What do we need to do to confront our problems? You know, we don't need to fight them in our own strength. The lesson is here. God has already promised to fight your battles for you. But you do need to confront them head on. You know, you just can't sweep them under the carpet. You just can't say, okay, you know, I'll deal with it later. That's not what God says. You can stand up to those problems. You can, as Jehoshaphat did, and his mighty army, as big as it was, and it wasn't very big, you can take your position. They took their position. You can take your position. And, you know, someone said that again and again, 80% of success is simply just showing up, right? It's just showing up. And you know what? I think that applies to the way we face our problems. That applies to the way we deal with the issues that come our way. There are some problems that come our way we may have control over, and there are some problems that come our way we don't have any control over. And many times we're caught in the rut of trying to fix other people's problems when, you know, we can hardly fix our own problems. And so there's lessons here for us. When you're willing to stand up to the enemy face to face, you unleash the power of God in your life when you're trusting Him. Amen? 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 Amen. So if you're saying, here comes trouble, the answer is not to run. The answer is to face it. To face it. My mother used to say, you know, you're going to have to face the music. And we have to as well. Here's the next thing I want you to notice. Number two, not just to face it, but number two, take action right away. Take action right away. Listen to what God said to Jehoshaphat. Verse 16. Tomorrow, march out against them. Didn't say next week. It didn't say 6 months from now. It didn't say down the road. It said tomorrow, march out against them. Verse 17. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So what did they do? They heard the voice of God. They obeyed His command. It says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. They went out. They took action. And they did it right away. In other words, they moved as soon as it was possible for them to move. Now, I can't imagine trying to get everything all coordinated and put together and a strategy in place and everything all ready to go and to do it in just no time at all. They did it so quickly because they were ready to move out the next day. You know, many times when we're up against problems and we know we have to confront them face to face, we try to put them off as long as possible. I have this gift of procrastination, do you? We put things off and off. We try to put things off. I came across a quote by J. Jackson Brown. And I think there's some wisdom to this. And I think it fits in line with Scripture. And he said this, that where there is a hill to climb, don't think that waiting will make it any smaller. When there is a hill to climb, don't think that waiting will make that hill any smaller. Now imagine that in your mind, if you would. We've all been there. How wonderful it is that, you know, we don't need to wait a single moment, but we can face our problems as they come. Sometimes we don't have any other choice, but we have to face them face to face. We have to face them immediately. We have to deal with them, or they'll deal with us. How wonderful it is that nobody needs to wait a single moment before taking the necessary action to make your life what it needs to be. How wonderful it is that nobody needs to wait a single moment, not 1 second, before beginning to experiencing God's power in your life. The Apostle Paul said this, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. There's no time like right now, this very moment. And so today you can begin taking steps to move your problems out of the way. Even if they're tiny little baby steps. If you have a problem with addiction, you can take some baby steps to deal with that. If you have a problem with a relationship, you can take a baby step. So often we think, you know, we have to do it all one big package. But baby steps can be, you know, we can do them and be more successful through baby steps than big steps. And I think of people that struggle with issues and they try to deal with them and try to make them or encourage them to make that first step, that initial step. And that can be the most important step of all in dealing with their issue. So we develop sometimes, you know, a what's the use attitude. You know, what good will it do? What's the sense of all this? We say that in our mind, but that's the devil trying to discourage us, trying to get us off on some other track, and try to get us going in some other direction. where we just will not confront our problems. You see, if Jehoshaphat and his army had believed this lie, they would never have gone into the wilderness of Tekoa. They would never have faced their enemies, and they would never have experienced victory. And here's the final thing that we need to do, and that is we need to chart our course with praise. To chart our course, our direction with praise. You may say, well, that's a little bit odd. To chart, you know, if you're in a battle, you're in a problems, having difficulties, and if you start praising God, that's not the way my friends do it. That's not the way the world does it. But this is the way Jehoshaphat did it. And we see what happens. In verse 21, the Bible says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Now, can you imagine? I'm not sure I'd want to sign up to be part of that choir, because I'd probably get mowed down. He appointed singers to go ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. They sang it in their own language, in the Hebrew language. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. All the time, leading the way into battle, give thanks to the Lord, for his faithfulness endures forever. Wow! You talk about our military. I don't think maybe some of our militaries has done that. I don't know. And this is what the Bible says in verse 22. It says in verse 22, at the very moment they began to sing and praise, give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Wow. It says the Lord caused it. The Lord did it. They were starting to squabble among one another. And they kind of, I suppose you can say, they self-imploded. They were so caught up in fighting off Jehoshaphat, they started squabbling. And God caused it. And so, it comes back to that very, very important premise, an illustration of the faithfulness of God. When he says, the battle is mine, it's not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the enemy self-destructed. Wow. And, you know, last week we talked about how praise and worship are an important part of seeking God. They're also an important part of confronting your problems. So often when we think of our problems, you know, we're not in a mindset of praising God, are we? We don't want to praise God. We want to complain to God. And so here's an illustration of how important and how powerful praise is in the midst of problems. Paul says, I will praise him anyway. And he says, I am persecuted. I am perplexed. I am crushed. But in the midst of it all, I will continue to praise God. I wish I could do that a little more intently. I'd like to see the benefits of that. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. I'm convinced that we talk way too much about our problems. And we trust very little that God will help us overcome our problems. We talk way too much about how bad things are. We hear it everywhere we go. And on the economy, on gas prices, on everything in this world. And yet we trust God very little. We're good at complaining. We're good at moaning and groaning and everything else. And then, as I close here this morning, I just want to encourage you to be reminded of this great truth again. The battle is not ours. It's the Lord. And the question is whether we have courage to believe God, to trust him. If you look at verse 20, it says, listen to me. You know, Jehoshaphat had a heart of faith, didn't he? A heart of faith. He had a heart of faith. and a mouthful of praise. And when you have a heart of faith and a mouthful of praise, they come together and miraculous things happen. Verse 20, it says this, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Believe. And you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed," he says. If we could only believe, if we could only trust, if only we could pray and trust God to give us the courage to do just that. The battle is not ours, but it's the Lord. And there's one verse I want to leave you with, and it's found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says this, "It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord." It's by his spirit, his grace, his power, his love for us. So when you've got armies up against you, and you've got bullies coming from every direction, and you've got problems surrounding you, there is victory. You and I can experience God's victory. How? By faith. By faith, we confront the problems we face. By faith, we begin to take action now. And by faith, you proceed each step with a word of praise. Do you know what you'll discover? That there is power in praise, and there's victory in faith. There is power in praise, and there's victory in faith. The battle does not belong to you. The battle does not belong to me. The battle is the Lord's, and he has promised victory, not by your own might, not by your own power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the battle is not ours, but it's yours. Lord, give us faith to trust you. Help us to trust you. In these dark days, when it seems as though the enemy is unleashing all around us, when it seems as though the devil is trying to get into every activity and everything that's happening in our world today, help us to know that the victory is yours. Battle's not ours, it's yours. That faith is the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a couple of